God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke, said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Lizzie Warren, and I think we have this later, the soundbite. Lizzie Warren, Senator Warren, pardon me, was on Face the Nation. And she said about the alleged murderer of the insurance company CEO. She said, and she offered the inherent, violence is never a solution. And she's right, although sometimes there is just war. Sometimes there is. And biblically, there is. But she said, yeah, violence is never the solution, but you can only push people so far. Then they'll take matters into their own hands. It's an interesting point of view, given that she's talking about gunning a guy down and shooting him in the back. She didn't have that same point of view when it came to peaceful people who went to Washington, D.C. after they felt they'd been pushed too far. After they had been told, you have to stay home and stay safe. And if you refuse to take these shots, you're going to get fired. And that's just the way it is. Phrases like, it puts the mask on its skin if it wants to eat again, appeared. And that was just the way things were. And if you don't like it, well, start your own country. People watched as they were told, you have to mail in your ballots. After all, it's far too unsafe for you to go and vote in person. And then once the mail-in ballots had flooded in, then all of a sudden it was safe again. That was after it was deeply unsafe to go to the Sturgis motorcycle rally, but very, very safe to be in Black Lives Matter Incorporated riots, all under the same COVID excuse. Then, of course, they said they needed to stop counting ballots, but they kept counting. Oh, they put up some boards over the windows so you couldn't see the counting. But the elections were the safest, most secure in history. And then during that period of time when the boards were going up on the windows, there were completed ballots being trucked from one state to another. Completed ballots. That's now confirmed. But it was the safest, most secure election in history. Then there was the counting of ballots that arrived after the election closed down. Signatures not checked, no voter ID, and people went to Washington, D.C. and they said, we think this election was stolen. And Lizzie Warren said, they're terrorists. True thing. You can only push people so far. I don't excuse the murder of the CEO at all. In fact, I'm very, very concerned about leftist violence. Leftist violence. There is, in fact, leftist violence. Well, of course, because the whole point is to push them to this point. That's the point of the color revolution. It's also Satan's goal. That's what he wants to see. But we need to be able to talk about healthcare. And this alleged murderer didn't start the conversation for me at all. I've been talking about this since Obamacare, because I saw what Obamacare was, which was, of course, the destruction of the American healthcare system on behalf of insurance companies. They wrote that bill that became law. There's another aspect to this that I find fascinating. This is from the New York Times. The prominent Maryland family of the suspect in the CEO killing until the arrest this week of, and I'm not going to say his name because I sometimes think people want their names in these articles. The family was best known for building a business that made them a force in local politics and charity. So they're really, really interested in this alleged killer's family. Hey, have they shown any interest in the guy who tried to kill President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania? Any interest at all? No. That's weird. What about the guy who was in Mar-a-Lago on the border of the golf course, who was in and out of Ukraine as a mercenary, who was crouching there to kill President Trump? Wow, that went away from the news cycle. They just quit talking about that. Why is that? Where there's a double standard, there's a hidden agenda. There are hidden agendas. Some things deserve light, some things don't. God is light, in him there's no darkness at all. Everything whispered in the dark will then be shouted from the rooftops, including the destruction of our healthcare system, which has become a pharma system and a surgery system. That's what it's become. That's the pipeline. How much surgery can we get you to take? How many pills can we get you hooked on? There's a whistleblower about the so-called health insurance industry, which is really just the surgical pharmaceutical pushing industry. Her name is Dr. Janaya Caldi-Irlia, and she's a family practice physician in San Diego. Her parents were denied coverage for a wheelchair.
I would say the most bizarre prior auth I had was for a wheelchair. My patient had just had both of his legs amputated.
Patient's insurance denied her request for a wheelchair, for a double amputee.
The reason was because I didn't specify how his walking would be affected by his disability. So I had to call and fight this and tell these people, my patient doesn't have legs.
She didn't specify how not having legs would affect his ability to walk. She had to call and spend her time doing this. Now, I have a friend of mine who is a quadriplegic, and he was supposed to be dead 30 years ago. He also happens to be a major follower of the Lord Jesus and the disciple maker, and a guy who somehow has taught himself to play slide guitar. He was a guitarist before he was paralyzed. He somehow taught himself to play slide guitar by having people place his hands on his guitar, and he can move his body back and forth, and he literally has taught himself to play. He loves that instrument so much. He had to get a new wheelchair because the old one finally got old, finally starting to break down. He didn't want to do it. He wanted to save the taxpayers money because he gets Medicare and Medicaid. He went in to order the new wheelchair, and the wheelchair company said, we can't give this to you. Why? You have to have this other brand. Dave looked at the other brand and said, no, I can't be in that because of my back condition. That will kill me. It's the only one we can give you. Okay, fine. I'll spend my money on it. Oh, no, we still can't give it to you. No, I won't use Medicare insurance. No, because we take Medicare, we cannot give this to you. What if my wife buys it in her name? Oh, I could get in real trouble. They wanted him to purchase the wheelchair that was more expensive and then pay to have it modified for more money. They finally went and bought it elsewhere for cash and tried to get the money back from Medicare. Wouldn't do it. He's been forced to pay into Medicare his whole life. So this whistleblower about the so-called health insurance industry, which is really just a pharma protection industry, she continued to talk about what she's seen. A woman named Kathleen Valentini, like many others, was denied coverage for an MRI despite meeting prior authorization standards.
The American Medical Association found that 80% of doctors report that patients have abandoned their treatment because of the prior authorization process. 19% say they've led to life-threatening events or required an intervention to prevent permanent impairment or damage. And that's exactly what happened to Kathleen.
And her husband could not believe that an insurance company had the power to overrule the doctor's recommendation.
Most shocking, however, is why the insurer said that the MRI was not medically necessary. In Kathleen's case, it meant that she hadn't done an essential step before getting an MRI. She never went to physical therapy, except she did.
The doctor said, guys, not only she finished 6 weeks of physical therapy, you paid for it.
Insurance companies operate in a interesting way. It's illusion. Hey, I only have a $5 copay. I only have a $15 copay. I get my pills at $15. That's not insurance. It's not. You are going to see doctors in your life. You're going to take medication. Insurance is when something really bad happens to you and you don't have the money and you need someone to step in and help pay for it or pay for it outright. That's insurance. Obamacare outlawed insurance and they installed socialized medicine. They privatized the profits and they passed on the losses. And this is what we're seeing. It's an ungodly deception, and it goes back to a theme of this show, the attack on our bodies. Notice this. If a kid becomes confused or rebellious about their gender, insurance companies will say, sure, we'll pay for that. Wrong sex hormones and surgery? Oh, slice them up. Why? Because you're forced to underwrite it. Because the government's written it into insurance plans. Oh, is it satanic? Oh, certainly. Here's how health insurance companies utilize outsourcing and hostile design to deny so much coverage through prior authorization standards.
Oftentimes, insurance companies can't handle the sheer amount of requests, so they outsource the decisions to a company like Max's. It wasn't actually Kathleen's insurer, Emblem Health, that denied her MRI. It was a company that Emblem Health had outsourced their prior authorizations to. Max was quick to defend most of the nurses and doctors reviewing prior authorization requests. What he described instead was systems designed at all times to look like they were simply adhering to best practices. But that stripped employees of the ability to practice good judgment. Instead, companies like his used hostile design to push the kind of large-scale outcomes they wanted.
There's not a whole lot of room for subjectivity in some of these tools. And so, like, I can't check that box or I can't fill in an answer here. That might be enough to fail that clinical algorithm.
So I want to ask, for Kathleen Valentini, do you have any guesses as to, like, why that might happen?
I mean, only speculating here, but they might not have entered all the information inappropriately, or it might not have been explicitly called out in the place that they would have expected to find it in the clinical documentation, in the clinical notes.
I was just changing my corporate status from LLC to a corporation. I was on a government website. They forced me to go through and fill out this long form. There's no business for what I do. I have to lie in a government form. I have to say I'm a broadcaster. Well, yes, here I am. Praise God. On AFR, and thank you for that. And on this show, this is a personal thing. They pay me personally. My business is podcasting. So I wrote on the government form, I was looking for podcasting because I don't broadcast. But I had to put broadcasting. Then I got down to the end of the form and it said, is this all true to the best of your knowledge? No, there was no box for no. So they could come back and say, you're not a broadcaster. Same thing they're doing with healthcare or supposed healthcare. Here's how these outsourced companies hide behind intentional design and best practices.
It's almost like selective design in terms of, do you want to word this question in a tricky way that maybe makes it a little bit more difficult to someone not paying close enough attention, and then likely leads to them not getting an easy approval.
But while Max consistently stressed how their decisions were supposedly rooted in best practices, story after story from doctors highlighted a system that was comically inept when it wasn't just outright horrifying. Dr. Calderillo once ordered a mammogram for a patient with a carcinoma. The insurance initially rejected the prior authorization after a worker didn't understand basic medical terminology.
And Dr. Calderillo's double amputee patient who was denied the wheelchair may have been denied because of manipulated data.
If Dr. Calderillo didn't properly document how having no legs impaired her patient's walking, she might resubmit with a nice little summation of how her patient could not, in fact, walk without legs.
We did two reviews in that case, the initial review and the subsequent review. And it doesn't matter that both were for the same patient because in our data, we'll have two requests. And when we're reporting value to our clients, most of the decks that I had seen were showing things like denial rates and then how those trended over time.
Those denial rates were simply calculated with the number of denials divided by the total number of decisions. In other words, those two separate requests for a wheelchair end up looking in a spreadsheet like a 50% denial rate.
Those who give mercy will receive it. Guess what algorithms don't give? You got it. Mercy. We'll come back with another example of false teaching. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. Thank you. back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Years ago, there was a radio consultant who visited us in Seattle and spent some time listening to our radio station. This is when I did morning radio there. And then he put together his opinion and sat down with us and shared some things. And one of the bits of instruction I got was, you need to stop using the name Saul Alinsky. That's just not something anyone's interested in hearing. So what I'd like you to do instead is I'd like you to pick some really interesting personalities in politics and spend some time talking about them. For instance, I think Marco Rubio is really interesting. You should spend some time talking about him. He comes from a family of Cuban immigrants, and I'm sitting here listening to this. And I said, I'm sorry to interrupt, but could I pop in for a second? And he said, sure, yeah, of course. And we're in there with the program directors and some other hosts. I said, I'm not interested in Marco Rubio. Well, I think your audience would be. You do. Huh. Well, I mean, but pick some other personalities. I think that what we're, but, and I said, well, what's the problem with talking about Saul Alinsky? He said, well, it's just old and people don't. I said, wait, what do you know about Saul Alinsky? Well, that's not the point. The point is, in my program director came, Todd. I said, okay, all right. Pardon me, I'll sit and listen. He had some other feedback. Some of it was, it would be helpful if when you did your program, it was more like talking about sports radio. It seems like you really take a lot of this seriously, and it'd be fun if maybe you had more fun with this. I said, wait, are you talking about, we run a feature called Just a Few More Things, and that's a funny feature, and that's a lot like our Tower Babbling that we do here, and I have something called Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. Those are all humorous. Well, but you just seem so committed to your views, and sometimes it's really dogmatic, and I'm listening to this. And I finally said, hey, may I just ask one more question, please? Sure. Have you ever hosted a radio show? Well, I've been a program director for 30 years. Right. No, I understand. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Have you ever hosted a radio show? No. Okay. I speak for 4 hours a day. And there are some things that interest me less than others. But if I'm spending my time uninterested, I'm going to be uninteresting. And people will see through it. People will see through a pretense. Now, why am I sharing this with you? Because I'm about to talk about Saul Alinsky. I'm afraid the guy's listening. No, he's not employed by AFR. And I'm sure he's a very nice man. I'm sure he's got some wise things to say. I'm bringing up Saul Alinsky because we're going to get to false teachers. No, from a biblical perspective. So will you follow me with this? Saul Alinsky was a communist. He learned from communism and the Chicago mob. From the Chicago mob, he took lessons on how to intimidate and use force or threat of force to get people to do what you wanted them to do. From communism, he took ideas of how to take apart countries, particularly democracies. He was an adherent of Karl Marx. Karl Marx was an adherent of Satan. Okay, Karl Marx said he was a Satanist. He wrote a poem about how much he hates God, and he specifically identified the Christian God hates him. He said that his writing, Karl Marx, his writing, his systems would outlast that of the Lord Jesus. His words, not mine. Saul Alinsky, impressed by Karl Marx and his theories, became a leftist organizer in the United States. He dedicated his first book to Lucifer. A community organizer so good at what he did, he got his own planet. He was a Satanist and a thug. And there are people like Barack Hussein Obama who follow his teachings to this day. Hillary Clinton wrote him a love letter, effectively, wrote a thesis about him. Some people say she met with him. So you look at the lineage here, and in it there's good news. There really is. Antifa is an offshoot of Alinskyism. They're leftists, and many of them are satanic, openly so. Some of them secretly. Some of them don't know they're satanic. They're pushing satanic ideas. And they share something else in common with Satan. They can't build anything. See, Satan can't build. He can't invent. He can't have joy. We know that. There's a great example of this from Revolver.News, and it's a little bit of a trip down memory lane, except it's sort of an update of this. Do you remember years ago, there was a group of what are called trans-tifa. Do you know what that means? It's the fake word trans attached to Antifa. These are gender-confused, gender-defiant, usually men, who like weapons, guns. They like to go play militia. Now, in common fact, they're not very good at playing militia. They're not very good with their weapons. They're not in very good physical condition. And they've got a bunch of guns, and they're dangerous people. So they went and set up an alpaca ranch in Colorado. And the Mockingbird media flooded to them. They took adoring pictures of them. There's a picture of two of the trans-tifa types with their weapons and their tattoos and their fake gender. And this is a headline. Alt-right Coloradans went to war with an alpaca farm, and the farm won. For nearly 9 months, Tenacious Unicorn Ranch, a safe haven for so-called trans and queer Coloradans, faced violent threats from right-wing extremists. Until, that is, they turned to their local anarchists for help. Let me pause there. The violent threats were this. You are squatters. You are illegally on that land. You are trashing that land. You are killing these alpacas. Sure, there were some people who said some horrible things. You know, F words and curse words and get out. But it wasn't a threat to go seize them, army-like. But the Mockingbird media was thrilled. They were threatened, the trans-tifas, until they turned to the local anarchists for help. Then they show some pictures of some people who pretend to be anarchists. Except for this, anarchists don't come behind government and tell people to put the masks on their faces. Stay home, stay safe. Safest, most secure election in history. Take the shot, and if you don't take the shot, you should be fired. That's not what anarchists do. Anarchists say, no, make me. They're not anarchists. They're another arm of Trans-tifa and Antifa. But now we get to the update, and this is where the good news exists. A woman named Bonnie Nelson wrote on Twitter, the Tenacious Unicorn Ranch, and she just wrote this in December 26th last year, the Tenacious Unicorn Ranch, my home for 2 years and current squatters in my legally owned house, are unfortunately nothing more than a glorified cult. It was only through my marital explosion that I left the property and was forced to take off the rose-colored glasses. So her marriage broke up, she left the property, they came in and squatted on it, and they destroyed it. An account on Twitter called Bruised Orange writes, how many alpaca died while you were there? Bonnie Nelson replied, I've helped bury 30 to 50 alpaca in my 2 years at the ranch. The biggest chunk after receiving 90 plus in the winter of 2020, they mostly died following the spring rollout. But during this entire time, the Mockingbird media flocked and loved this. The National Farmers Union wrote, many people think rural America is overwhelmingly white, straight, and conservative. In reality, it's fairly diverse. Just ask the so-called transgender alpaca ranchers behind the Tenacious Unicorn Ranch. They participated in promoting this and pretending these people weren't an armed militia. They trashed the buildings. They removed the back deck. It was surrounded by garbage. It was unlivable. And they killed these alpacas by letting them freeze to death. That's not good news that the alpacas died that way. Here's the good news. They can't build. See, if you go back to Rules for Radicals, fascinating thing. It has no governing plan. It's a complete book about how to take over a country, but no governing plan. Why would there be? Satan doesn't want to govern. He has a place. He will govern forever in hell. But it's not governing because there's no disagreement allowed. Oh, you can scream, and you will if you are in hell for eternity, God forbid, but you're not going to get any relief. He runs his organization that way on earth. There's no disagreement with the demons. They're unanimous, and they still can't build. But we can. We can build the kingdom of heaven. We can let God do that through us. He's doing it now. He's building, Satan is destroying. Which brings us to these false teachers. Saul Alinsky was an adherent of Satan. He also followed Karl Marx. Karl Marx followed Satan. He didn't really know how to build either. He knew how to tear down. False teachers cannot build. They cannot build the kingdom of heaven. They can't let God do that through them, to be more precise, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And so they tear down sound teachings, or they try to. This happens now every Christmas season. We hear heretical pastors tell us, effectively, that Jesus Christ did not like law and order. Jesus Christ wanted chaos. He wanted us to be lawless. That's the effective message you're about to hear in this conversation. From Five Folks Church in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, Sean Kite pretends quite a lot in this clip.
The Christmas story teaches us that Jesus enters our world as a refugee on the run. There's an organization called Doctors Without Borders that defines a refugee like this. It says a refugee is someone who has been forced to flee his or her country because of persecution, war, or violence. This is Jesus, right? A refugee has a well-founded fear of persecution for reasons of race, religion, nationality, political opinion, or membership in a particular social group. This is Jesus in the Christmas story. There's actually a biblical scholar, James Martin, who notes that the word refugee that we use today is in the actual biblical text. So if you're following along, look back at verse 13 for just a moment. The angel says, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Or your translation, the one you have, might say something like, and flee, run to Egypt. The Greek word that is used here is actually the Greek word phuege, from which we get our word refugee. Fuege, refugee. You can hear a similarity in the sound of these words.
So there's a big difference here in these words, and then we'll get to the bigger picture. This comes from Woke Preacher TV, who analyzed what this guy just said. He said there's a big difference, the word itself versus a verb that the noun title was later derived from. Second, you get some very goofy results if you apply this logic to other passages with the same word. Martin's anachronism then makes these people refugees. So if you extend this guy Martin's thinking, the women leaving the tomb, the empty tomb, they were refugees. Same word. The hireling who fled the wolves in John 10:12, refugees. Timothy fleeing the youthful lusts in 2 Timothy 2:22, he became a refugee from youthful lusts. The devil fleeing a Christian who resists temptation. The devil becomes a refugee in James 4:7. Islands disappearing off the seventh bowl of God's wrath. Revelation 16:20, the islands themselves are refugees. To the bigger picture. See, the argument he's making here is because the family of the Lord Jesus, his earthly family, had to take him into Egypt to flee Herod's insane, satanic murder of little babies in an effort, of course, of Satan himself to destroy the Messiah. They had to do that to protect his life. They were, in that case, refugees. They were fleeing harm, sure. And then they came home. And they didn't go in and say, let us change your entire governing system. They came home. The argument he's making is for open borders. He's not talking about refugees. We have always taken in refugees in this country. America is 5% of the world's population. We have taken in at least 20% of the world's displaced peoples, and those numbers came from about 10 years ago. That's before the push for open borders, which is a worldwide push for Western-style democracies. It is not a push accepted in Russia. It is not a push accepted in China. Those countries don't allow it, period. We're forced to allow it here. So when I said that people like Sean Kipe are making an argument that the Lord Jesus is against law and order, that's exactly what they're saying. That because Jesus had a status as a refugee, we can't control our own borders. We're not bringing in refugees. To make sure someone is a refugee, you stop them in their country of origin, you interview them, you verify their stories. We've let 20 million people into this country without taking the slightest effort to understand who they are. Jesus was the entity who inspired Romans 13 to obey governing authorities and laws. He himself obeyed governing authorities up to the cross. Please let's not give in to this silliness of Jesus is for chaos. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back on The Disciples View. Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower Babbling here. And then, man, a continuing series of emails. Sometimes you touch nerves. It's so funny. You know, I'm in the television studio we have here. Effectively, God built us what is effectively a TV studio. You can see my YouTube work, by the way, at youtube.com/@TheToddHermanShow. It's so funny, though. One of the things I love about live radio is I can gesticulate any way I want. When I'm doing the TV thing, I'm supposed to keep my hands. So I just said, I touched a nerve and I put my hands up, you know, my palms out, like, don't come at me. But it's so funny. When you do live radio, you touch nerves in ways you don't expect. The conversation we started earlier this week about trauma mind has just lit people up. And people, again, asking for more information about this and how to deal with people who are emotionally dysregulated. And I happen to make mention that I have a certificate to help families with kids who have borderline personality disorder. And I made a mention of this. And the series of notes I've gotten from people, it breaks my heart. There's been so much done to break kids' minds. So I'll respond to yet more emails on this topic because a lot of young people are traumatized. This is useful for anybody. And it goes straight to God's design of our minds, or in our brains. So we'll get to that. I want to caution you, we're going to play something here. I'm not in any way, and nor have I ever endorsed revenge killings, ever. The murder of the CEO of United Healthcare, Brian Thompson, is abhorrent. It's evil. It is murder. It is ungodly. It is all these things. Never have we ever come close to endorsing anything like this. And he didn't start our conversation about our broken former healthcare system. That has been a topic I've covered for a very long time. COVID put it into a focus for a lot of people. And for me, it was watching families attempt to not get their kids forcibly transed. When I saw that dynamic, I grew to understand, wow, this isn't healthcare. It's the opposite. This is harming kids. It's destroying families. And when I understood that it had become embedded in Children's Hospital and Mary Bridge and others, I myself distrusted the medical world in a very, very vibrant way. And look, I have relatives who work in it. My sister is a medical professional, and I know there's great people who work in it. There's people, members of this audience who are doctors and nurses, and I know it breaks your heart, particularly if you serve Jesus in that capacity. COVID put it in the spotlight for a lot of us. And for me to be lied to by doctors, I mean, openly lying to me, that really proved it. To have a doctor lie to me about what those injections were, trying to get me to take them, it changed me. I'll never forget the conversation. Him saying, have you been vaccinated? And I said, against what? He said, well, COVID. I said, no, should I? He said, well, absolutely. I said, well, how do they work? He goes, the vaccines? I said, yeah, how do they work? He said, well, they take an inert portion of the virus, and by that I mean dead. I said, right, I understand inert. An inert portion of the virus, and they put it in your body so your body can build antibodies to it. I said, oh, okay. I had understood that these were actually gene manipulation devices that contain mRNA code wrapped up in a nanolipid particle that causes your body to produce a facsimile of the spike protein 46 million at a time. See, that's what I thought. I thought they were gene sequencing devices. And the doctor looked at me and he goes, if you knew that, why did you ask me? I said, well, maybe a better question is, since you know that, why did you lie? He didn't like that. He was offended. He shouldn't have been. It was his lie. I simply asked him how they worked. And he lied. We must confront these things. Satan is on a march to destroy our bodies, to put human code into our bodies, to put his signature into our bodies. We need to guard against this and understand it's being fought on many, many fronts. The so-called transgenderism, the mRNA, transhumanism, that's coming. So I say this all as preface to say we've started talking about the problems with our healthcare system a long time ago, but what's so interesting and maybe even hopeful is that on this, conservatives and leftists can agree. The world of healthcare is captured and partially destroyed. We tend to disagree on the solution. They want more government control. We want less. But at least we can agree on the problem. So this is an anti-United Healthcare song from TikTok.
There's an office and a building and a person and a chair, and you paid for it, although you may be unaware. You paid for the paper, you paid for the phone, you paid for everything they need to deny it what you're owed. There ain't no you in United Health, there ain't no me in the company, there ain't no us in the private trust. There's hardly humans in humanity.
And the song continues, and it's very, very well done. And it's somewhat hippie-ish, we could admit that. But I find it hopeful that on the topic of caring for our bodies, there could be agreement. And in fact, it's funny, in Idaho, there's a section of the country where I live, where down the hill, there are old-fashioned Idaho rednecks, and don't come on our property, we'll shoot you. And it's so funny because they live down the hill from a group of leftist farmers who might well be growing marijuana, which is illegal in Idaho, but they've got their eggs for sale, and down the hill, the rednecks have got their beef for sale. And I get to say that because I'm 97.97% redneck. And you know what? They're friends. And the hill hippies have their guns too. Maybe we can come together. Maybe we can. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
More than half of this country voted for the criminal, still trying to figure out what happened.
3 sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling. First one comes from a certified Never Trump organization. Tim Miller of The Bulwark talking about how gay group chat was blowing up because of the assassin and how the Boston bomber is more his type.
But this
suspected killer, there's a lot to unpack here. Tim, what are your first impressions?
There's a lot to unpack here, including his six-pack would be among the things you need to unpack.
He did post a yes. Yeah.
This is a very attractive man, and there are a lot of texts about that. So I have a few more things to say about that at the very end, but I knew that that's probably what people are coming here to hear my thoughts on. So you got to wait till the end to hear my additional thoughts on
that. Good that you did not bury the lead here. Blowing up on the gay group chats.
The gay group chats are on fire right now. The
other closing thoughts on this?
Because we got to go back to his looks.
Go back.
I've received several texts from people trying to get me to admit that I am attracted to the shooter. And I do. And I have to just say, not exactly my type. I mean, objectively handsome.
I think once you kill someone.
Not exactly my type, yeah. Like in that category, kind of the Boston Marathon bomber was kind of a little bit more my wheelhouse.
Do you remember the Rolling Stone cover of that guy?
Do I remember that cover?
Not an appropriate cover.
Some people were very upset about the cover, not me.
They made him look like a young Bob Dylan. It was nuts.
Much handsomer than a young Bob Dylan. So anyway, he's still in jail as he should be. But not exactly.
That's the conversation. To the left and the leftist media, there's an obvious idol. Sexuality. Well, and the sex act. Next soundbite, today's tire babbling, Elizabeth Warren, a woman who built her wealth partly by purchasing foreclosed homes from under desperate people, shared her thoughts on the murder of the United Healthcare CEO.
Violence is never the answer. This guy gets a trial who's allegedly killed the CEO of United Health. But you can only push people so far. And then they start to take matters into their own hands.
Yeah.
Right. So she's sort of excusing it, giving him a lot more grace than she gave peaceful protesters on January 6th, because 99% of the people were peaceful. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Speaking of female politicians, the dictator of Canada has thoughts about our country's voters, but does he actually hear himself?
No, it shouldn't be that way. It wasn't supposed to be that way. We were supposed to be on a steady, if difficult sometimes, march towards progress. And yet, just a few weeks ago, the United States voted for a second time to not elect its first woman president. Everywhere, women's rights and women's progress is under attack, overtly and subtly.
That's a dictator who has told women that they can get in trouble if they describe men who rape them as men. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, just some more emails on the topic of the trauma mind. And this comes from Bethany in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Dear Todd, I listened to you on AFR and learned about your AFR program through your podcast, and am thrilled to have you back on live radio. Incidentally, as a longtime listener, you should know that you're different on radio from your podcast. You seem more joyful. That gets fair feedback, Bethany. I do like live radio better than podcasting, much, much more. Bethany continues, you'd mentioned the trauma mind and that kids need to be seen, heard, understood, know that we're thrilled to be able to help them, and that we're going to bring bigger minds to bear on a problem. And you suggest, of course, the mind of God. That'll make a lot of sense to me. I heard you mention that you have a certificate in helping families with kids who have borderline personality disorder. I don't think your audience knows how difficult that is. Our 19-year-old has BPD symptoms. We're praying that she doesn't have borderline personality disorder itself. Is there a way to figure that out? I've heard it's very, very difficult. God bless you, Bethany, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Bethany, thanks for the note, and I will pray that your daughter does not have borderline personality disorder. And if you don't know what this is, it's becoming more common. Borderline personality disorder is typified by people who have no actual personality of their own. They borrow them. They become whoever they're around. And they cannot see people in shades of gray. It's the most fascinating thing about them. If you were kind to them, you're good. If you disagree with them, you're bad. So for parents, it's very frustrating. If you're letting your teen do something they like or you're giving them good feedback, you are good mom. If you discipline, you are bad mom. And they'll stay thinking you're bad mom until you do good by them. They also have trouble with relationships. They get close to people. They get afraid because they can feel themselves being taken over. So they get aggressive, sometimes physically. There's a book called I Hate You, Don't Leave Me. And it's about borderline personality disorder kids and later adults. Suicide is quite high in them. Inability to have real attachments and real friends. It's a very tragic condition. Medication doesn't help. And largely, medication doesn't help. Pharma would like to make you think it does. But then again, they lied about dopamine and serotonin reuptake happens. Is there a way to tell? There is. Very skilled practitioners can do this. And can I tell you what we did with our daughter? She thought she was borderline personality disorder. So she started to act that way. See, online, kids can go discover these symptoms and take them on and try them on. She was seeing a therapist. My daughter's a vegan. And she was seeing this therapist. And this therapist made this habit of eating meat around my daughter. She'd show up for therapy, and the therapist would be eating a hamburger. And she would purposely eat it in front of my daughter, a turkey sandwich. One day it was a steak. And my wife was saying, I don't get it. She's driving a wedge between her and our daughter. What's she doing? I said, I know exactly what she's doing. So one day my daughter went in and said, I need to share something with you. I am really offended that you eat meat in front of me. My parents pay for me to be here. I'm a customer, not just a patient. I think it's really rude that you eat meat in front of me during our time when I'm being paid to, when I'm paying you to be here. The therapist smiled. She said, do you remember that question you asked me? What? About, are you borderline personality disorder? Yes, you're not. Well, how do you know? Because you just approached this in a civil and grown-up manner. And you haven't leapt across this table and beaten me with something. Bethany, there are ways to know. I'll pray for you. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Until God decides we can all speak again together, may the peace of the Lord that transcends all understanding rest upon you and your families. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.